Preston Bradley said, I've never met a person that I didn't care what his condition, in whom I could not see possibilities. I don't care how much a man may consider himself a failure. I don't believe it. I believe in him, for he can change the thing that is wrong in his life any time he's prepared and ready to do it. Whenever he develops the desire, he can take away from his life the thing that is defeating it. The capacity for reformation and change lies within. This is Dr. Harrell Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capital, California. This is our thought for today. Preston said, I have never met a person, I don't care what his condition, in whom I could not see possibilities. I don't care how much a man may consider himself a failure. I believe in him, for he can change the thing that is wrong in his life any time he's prepared and ready to do it. Whenever he develops the desire, he can take away from his life the thing that is defeating it. The capacity for reformation and change lies within. Now, this is quite a mouthful, and Preston Bradley has always been one to give mouthfuls. But think about it from this capacity. We have never met anyone in our life who is working up to full capacity. And that's just a statement, a truth. We've never met anyone, because we can always do more. We can always be better. We can always accomplish greater and greater and greater things than we've ever done before. Like with the athletes. Years ago, they had limitations on, which they still do, on the mile. And today, they're running far in excess of that. And every year, they're running in excess of. And now, the silly thing is, women can't do those things. And women are outrunning the men. Women are out doing these things because they don't believe, they're not going to sit by the limitations that men set for themselves. In fact, one of the new golfers we spoke about recently, a young lady of 14, her stroke is so powerful that she can outdrive any person who is a driver on the golf range, anybody. But she does it with accuracy also. Now, the driving is amazing. When her club connects with the ball, bang, the ball just sails and soars, not high. Not a big loop, but almost a straight line, with a little arc to it, but almost a straight line. And it goes where she wants it to go, which is the miracle part. To hit a ball, some people can do that accidentally sometimes, you know, and move it across the field, but to have it always go where she wants it to go, her concentration is superb. Her concentration on how she addresses the ball with her club, so that it hits at just that right peak and that she gets enough back stroke so that her swing comes around. And it's not a powerhouse swing as though she's going to take a sledgehammer and make the bell go up and ring the gong, or the gong go up, you know, the thing go up and ring the gong. it's a stroke that comes like in a tennis stroke or any other stroke that is just a smooth driven stroke that follows through in perfect manner. Now, how can she do that? She's a little 14-year-old girl, not even a full woman yet. Fantastic. She is a nicely built 14-year-old girl. She's been exercising a great deal. Her body is in good condition. But what is the best condition? Her mind, her attitude. She does not play golf for somebody else. She plays golf for herself, and she has fun. She just gets out there and does it for the joy of it. And they said, well, she should go play for money, because she could make millions. I said, no, I'm playing for fun. She says, it's time enough when I'm a little older to play for the millions. She says, and if I've lost my skill at that time, so be it. But I am enjoying this. I am not under any pressure. I am playing for the joy of it. I am playing for the genius of it, because I like myself, because I enjoy playing the game. Now, the capacity for reformation and change lies within anyone from being a bad golfer to being a good golfer. Now, Ellen was born with a tennis racket in her hand, and she has always played tennis. But she knew that she didn't play tennis as well as she could. So she went to a tennis instructor and told him to instruct her. And the tennis instructor instructed her, and after instructing her, Ellen applied the instruction to her game, and she improved tremendously. But now that was just with a little bit of training. Can you imagine if Ellen had been coached from childhood on, what a marvelous tennis player she would be? Can you imagine if she were coached from the very beginning in the correct way to do things, and to do it for the fun of it, but just the correct way to do things? She would add to that her personal intuition, her personal imagination, her personal genius, and she would be a superior tennis player. This is how it's done. Now, they say of the boys who are making good baskets in the basketball, making good baseball, you know, knocking the ball with a bat and stuff like that, they say that, oh, they're lucky. They're lucky. They're geniuses. They're lucky. And, well, what are these guys? These guys know they're good, but they prove it to themselves continuously, alone. They stay in the field in the evening. They, instead of going out to dances and going out to amusements, the amusement they have is the love of the game. And they get out there and they go to the nearby batting practice range where you can rent balls by the basket and then dump them in this thing, and then it pitches them to you, and then you bat them out, and you bat them out, and it pitches this and high and low and middle and all that sort of stuff, and it pitches random so that you're not knowing where the ball is going to come. And those guys spend hours and hours and hours on the field. Now, that's not all. They read about sports. They read about the game. They read about the skill. And then they go to sleep and they dream about it. And you say, my God, what dedication. I'm not that interested. That's right. You're not that interested. You're not that interested in being the very best and being the top of whatever it is that you want to be. We had Ilse here. And Ilse was a sharp, fantastic woman. And I bought a new IBM ESC. And I said, Ilse, I don't want you to do anything else. You know, whatever amuses you, but no work. The only work is for you to do is to spend the next couple of weeks learning the ISC typewriter. To learn it. Up to this page, not go beyond that. That's the fancy stuff. Remember I said that. So you learn this. What did she do? She dedicated herself to it. She studied it. She ate with us at meals. She went for her meditation walks. She played with the kids. She did all the things she wanted to do. She taught her classes in English. And she was a fabulous girl. But all of her work time was spent on that. And within a very short time, she had mastered that machine and was ready to set our books in type, and did a beautiful job. Now, we can all do this if we will just take the time of dedication and mastery of ourselves to whatever it is that appeals to us. Now, she kept pleading with me, let me go beyond her, let me go and learn this other fancy stuff, this other stuff in the end of the book. And I said, please don't. I don't want you to have your mind filled up with things that we're not using. If you can improve yourself on the things that we're using and become a genius on the things that we're using, that's more than I can expect. But if you're going to go on into areas that we're not using, then you're going to want to use them. And you're going to want to make circles of type, and you're going to want to make, it's pretty beautiful, you know, but that's not the functionality of what we're doing. Plus, it is not the function of what my my request for you is. My request for you is not to be touched by needing that, not to be possessed by wanting it, but just to flow with what you've been asked to do. And it was difficult for her at the beginning because she is a fire horse, And she just roared in there and worked on it so diligently and so completely. But that's what a genius does. That's what a genius does. Now, we demonstrate our genius when we find that which is appealing to us, when it's fascinating to us, and we go for it and learn it. Now, Ingeborg is learning how to do the encoding on the machine here. Now, in all of Ingeborg's spare time, I would think she'd be working on that machine, learning how to encode, practice, 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 until she does it second nature. And she'll find that she's not dumb. The mistakes that she was making, everybody made when they were learning it. It's not a matter of being dumb. It's just a matter of being unsure of yourself. When you're unsure of yourself, you're afraid to press a button. Let a little kid over there, he'd have no trouble pressing those buttons. Make a mistake, okay, start over again, no problem. If you lose everything off your computer, no problem. You've been doing backups on it, so there's no problem. And you just bring it back to life. And even if you don't have your backups, you just bring it back to life from where you are. Because the programs are untouchable. You cannot get into the programs. We cannot get into the programs. We can't mess them up. We can only buy what they call upgrades of the programs. And then they get in their own programs and upgrade them. But we can't do it. And we shouldn't. Even if we could. If we went in there, we're liable to press a button in there that's irreparable. And we don't want to do that. So, think about this. Bradley said he's never met a person he didn't care what condition in whom he could not see possibilities. So when we belittle ourselves and we say, I can't do something, we're not seeing the possibilities within us. And a man may consider himself a failure, but do we? Who's one example of a person who thinks of himself as a failure that we think is just absolutely fantastic? Mm-hmm. Hmm? Gregor. Yeah, that's forby. And Gregor used to think of himself as a failure. And we said, Gregor, you're fantastic. You're amazing. You're wonderful. And he was and is. And he is so super. But the thing is, he was so wanting certain things out of life that he wasn't putting the effort forth to get, that it didn't happen for him. And so the moment he learned to let go and just be himself and have fun, everything he ever dreamed of, everything he ever wanted, came his way. And it always will be that way. It'll always be that way for us when we take charge and recognize that we are wonderful. When we take charge and recognize that we are the creator of our world. When we take charge and realize that there are no failures in this world. There are only people who are not applying themselves to their genius. And we can apply ourselves to our genius any moment we wish. There are no failures in this world. Only people who are not applying themselves to their genius. Now, are you applying yourself to your genius? Are you applying yourself to the genius that you think is important? Are you applying yourself to the genius that other people think is important for you? There you're going to get in trouble. Get in lots of trouble. When you like yourself and do what is natural for you, you will be so happy. So, Preston Bradley's wonderful statement here has a lot of oomph to it. But what we want to do is realize that we are the oomph. We are the success. We are the wonder. We are the magic. We are the creator. So, no matter what problems come up in your life, recognize you just change your attitude about it and say, I can instead of I can't. And the ability to do it will be there. You watch and see. I love you. I love you. I love you.